Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano, and today's show is brought to you by Proofpoint. We're going to start today's show with news on hacks and breaches. Belarusian hacktivist group Cyber Partisans released on Tuesday 1.5 terabytes of data they claim are phone calls secretly collected by the Belarusian Ministry of Internal Affairs from foreign embassies and consulates inside Belarus. According to CyberScoop, the group claims they have more than 50,000 hours of recorded calls, and among the leaked audio are phone calls allegedly recorded inside Russia's embassy in Minsk. In other news, an Indian security researcher told TechCrunch that the website of PM Kisan, an Indian government project aimed at providing Indian farmers with basic financial income, has leaked their Aadhaar numbers. The researcher said he found the issue in January and it took the agency more than 4 months to fix it, with the website being patched in late May. Also this week, news emerged that ShopRite, one of the largest supermarket chains in South Africa, has been hit by ransomware. According to a report from The Record, ShopRite was hit by Ransom House, a new ransomware group linked to the former White Rabbit ransomware gang and the Finate cybercrime cartel. In terms of tech news, we have major news for Firefox users. Mozilla announced this week that it rolled out a new feature to all Firefox browser users named Total Cookie Protection. This feature works by limiting cookie access to the websites where the cookies were created, which has the side effect of preventing tracking companies from using the same cookies to track users browsing across the web from site to site. Mozilla described Total Cookie Protection as its strongest privacy protection to date. In addition, after 27 years, starting this Wednesday, June 15, 2022, Microsoft has officially retired its Internet Explorer web browser from many versions of Windows 10. Unaffected versions, when users try to open Internet Explorer or a website link, they will be redirected to Microsoft's newer Edge browser instead. Internet Explorer did not ship with Microsoft's newer Windows 11 operating system at all. In its quarterly security newsletter for Q1 2022, Google said that work has continued on moving some of the Chrome codebase from C++ to Rust, but the Chrome team does not know if they can ergonomically mix Rust with C++ in the Chromium code just yet. In addition, the Chrome team said that it is also continuing its efforts to put the browser's networking service into its own sandbox process. In terms of government policy and politics news, Intelligence Online reported on Tuesday that US electronic warfare giant L3Harris is in talks to acquire NSO Group, the controversial Israeli company that's behind Pegasus, the spyware strain often found being abused by oppressive regimes. The news is unexpected because the US Department of Commerce sanctioned NSO Group last fall, and seeing an American company trying to acquire it has raised many eyebrows in the intelligence community. In other news, Russia's central bank announced on Tuesday that Russian citizens will be able to activate a credit lock in their names as a way to prevent fraud actors from using stolen identities to obtain loans in their names. The decision comes as pro-Ukrainian hacktivist groups have leaked troves and troves of personal data from hundreds of Russian companies over the past few months since the Kremlin's invasion of Ukraine, leaks that have exposed Russian citizens to an increased risk of fraud. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, Cloudflare said it mitigated last week a 27 million requests per second DDoS attack. According to the company, the attack is now the largest HTTPS DDoS attack on record, beating a previous 17.2 million RPS DDoS attack recorded last year. Also in DDoS news, hacktivist group Dragon Force Malaysia announced last week a campaign of DDoS attacks against the Indian government and its private sector entities as part of a new operation they're calling Ops Patuk. DDoS mitigation provider Radware, which has been tracking the recent attacks, said the campaign is a direct result of a BJP politician attacking the Prophet Muhammad, comments that have outraged many Muslim communities and countries last week. Also in DDoS news, the operator of the Downdem and AmpNode DDoS for Hire services was sentenced to 2 years in prison, according to the US DOG. Investigators said that Downdem had more than 2,000 customers at the time of its owner arrest and had been used to launch more than 200,000 attacks. The owner, Matthew Gatrell, 33, of Illinois, ran the service with co-administrator Juan Martinez, 29, of Pasadena, who also pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 5 years of probation last year. In terms of new cybercrime tools, threat intelligence firm CloudSec said it observed a threat actor selling a battle-tested reverse proxy PHP-based phishing app called Naked Pages on a cybercrime forum. The threat actor claims the toolkit can be used to phish users of Google and Microsoft Office. Also on the same note, security firm Confiant also said it discovered a new tool advertised in cybercrime circles that can allow threat actors to create fake NFT minting pages that in reality will steal a victim's NFT ownership and even Ethereum funds. Elias Stein, a security engineer at Confiant, has more on the company's report.
Hi, this is Elias Stein with Confiant. I'm here today to talk about some fun new research that we published about a threat group that employs a crypto drainer template, and their template is very widely used and, according to our estimation, is responsible for millions of dollars in theft. So I guess that begs the question of what is a crypto drainer? And a crypto drainer is a website that poses as an NFT mint page, but when a victim actually engages with it, they're sending money directly to the attacker, or they're authorizing their existing crypto assets like NFTs to be stolen. So we went down the rabbit hole pretty deep analyzing one of these templates, and we found that this one specific template is very widely used and has ties to a full-service marketplace that has pretty much white-glove service for any wannabe attackers that want to run phishing campaigns. So for the low cost of anywhere between, you know, 500 euros or 1500 euros, you could get your own NFT fake minting site that will be set up and deployed for you with your personal wallet address as the receiving address of the stolen tokens. In our report, we've taken a look a little bit at this marketplace, a little bit at the Telegram behind it, and the fact that this template at this point is largely open source. It's mirrored all over the place on GitHub and other places. We attribute a tremendous amount of malicious activity to this specific template. In just weeks, we've observed hundreds of IOCs in the forms of unique crypto drainer phishing pages, as well as Ethereum addresses associated with the attackers. Based on the value of Ethereum at the time of our analysis, we estimate that the theft could have been as much as in the ballpark of $40 million. Of course, Ethereum has dipped quite a bit in the last few days. It's still a tremendous loss. Some very high-profile NFTs stolen as well, including Bored Ape Yacht Club, which are quite valuable in the NFT world, and just straight-up Ether itself.
In malware-related news, Avast has published a report this week on Syslog K, a new kernel rootkit found in the wild and targeting Linux systems. The researchers who analyzed the malware said Syslog K was based on AdoreNG, a relatively old open-source and well-known kernel rootkit for Linux, which initially targeted the 2.x kernel, but is currently being upgraded to target the 3.x releases as well. In other malware-related news, a report from cybersecurity firm Sequoia has shown just how big the Bumblebee malware operation has gotten in recent months. The company noted a rise from only 5 command and control servers at the start of April to more than 130 at the start of June, making Bumblebee one of the largest malware operations today. In terms of cyber espionage news, Palo Alto published a report on Monday saying they observed the Gallium APT conduct new attacks and expanding its usual targeting of telecommunication operators to also go after financial institutions and government entities. Targeted victims were located in Afghanistan, Australia, Belgium, Cambodia, Malaysia, Mozambique, the Philippines, Russia, and Vietnam. And researchers said the group also launched a new remote access Trojan for these attacks named Pingpool. In another report, security firm Checkpoint has also detailed a recent Iranian spear phishing operation aimed against former Israeli officials, high-ranking military personnel, and research fellows in research institutions and local think tanks. According to the company, some of the high-profile targets of this operation included Tzipi Livni, the former foreign minister and deputy prime minister of Israel, a former major general who served in a highly sensitive position in the Israeli Defense Forces, a chair of one of Israel's leading security think tanks, a former US ambassador to Israel, a former chair of a well-known Middle East research center, and a senior executive in the Israeli defense industry. In terms of vulnerability news, the Microsoft Patch Tuesday security updates for June 22 were released yesterday. The OS maker fixed 61 security vulnerabilities this month, including an official patch for the Folina Office zero-day vulnerability that is currently under mass exploitation by both nation-state and cybercrime groups. Besides Microsoft, Adobe, Citrix, and Siemens also released their own set of security updates on Tuesday. Also in vulnerability news, Orca Security has published in-depth technical details about a vulnerability known as Synlapse, a remote code execution impacting the Azure Synapse Analytics and Azure Data Factory services. According to the company, the vulnerability allowed attackers to hijack Azure Synapse workspaces, obtain Synapse customer account credentials, and even bypass Azure tenant separation. On the same note, SonarSource researchers also published a report on a new vulnerability in Zimbra email servers. SonarSource said the vulnerability allows attackers to steal clear text credentials from Zimbra systems without any user interaction. In addition, Google's Project Zero team has published a root cause analysis of a WebKit zero-day tracked as CVE-2022-22620. Project Zero researcher Maddie Stone discovered that the zero-day was initially exploited in the wild in 2013, was patched in the same year, but had its fix regressed in 2016 and then was re-exploited again in 2022. And last but not least, we have news about a new side-channel attack against modern CPUs. A team of academics from US universities published a research paper on Tuesday detailing a new side-channel attack they named Hertzbleed. This new attack targets dynamic frequency scaling, a feature in modern x86 processors that allows CPUs to lower their frequency to consume less power if they aren't used to their full extent. According to the research team, and we quote, "Hertzbleed is a real and practical threat to the security of cryptographic software," end quote, compared to the many other previous side-channel attacks disclosed in the past. In their test, the team said it was able to extract cryptographic keys from remote servers. All Intel CPUs are impacted, and the vast majority of AMD's top processors as well. This concludes the news section of our podcast, and now we'll hear from our sponsor. Shero De Grippo, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, is now here to talk about some of the recent trends in email attacks targeting cryptocurrency users.
It's been quite a week in the world of information security. One of the things that Proofpoint's taking a look at is a nice intelligence piece that we released about cryptocurrency, which I forced my team to do. It's actually a really interesting piece because as we're seeing the sort of meltdown implosion of a lot of these DeFi and blockchain and cryptocurrency organizations, massive layoffs, all kinds of shutting down, freezing assets, we took a look at how criminals are leveraging all of this volatility and confusion in the market. So we obviously found lots and lots of crime around wallet stealing, login credentials, cryptocurrency miners are everywhere. And it's an interesting look at just what's going on in the criminal side of the landscape as some of those cryptocurrency organizations start to feel a lot of pain.
And since the cryptocurrency space is full of weird attacks, we also asked Shera to highlight some of the more stranger campaigns Proofpoint has seen targeting cryptocurrency users.
We saw a, quote, exclusive drop of Bored Ape hitting some colleges and universities, higher education. They look great. They're Credfish, purporting to be a new exclusive airdrop of some Bored Apes as a giveaway. And then, of course, they redirect you to a cryptocurrency wallet phishing page. They look really good. The graphics are fantastic, as you would imagine. And so we're seeing those hitting higher education, unfortunately, really hard. A lot of college kids probably getting into some of that. So that's something we've been seeing recently is Bored Ape phishing. That's right.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.